Mitzvah Reish Ayin 270. Shelo Yikanes Kohen Gadol Be'Ohel HaMeis. That the high priest should not enter the tent or any type of building or structure in which is contained a corpse. Shelo Yikanes Kohen Gadol Be'Ohel HaMeis. Afilu L'Shisha Misei Mitzvah. Even though we learned before that a regular Kohen is allowed to impurify himself in order to attend to the burial needs of the six close relatives, parents, sibling. We also discussed how it was spouse, his wife. He's allowed to do it, whether that's the Rabbanan or the Raisa, as a Shaila. Shenema, and with children. Shenema, Val kol nefshos beis lo yavo, that he's not allowed to come into, go into, literally, any type of dead soul. Kilomar lo yavo besocha bayis imahem, you shouldn't come into the house with them. Deloshon bia, B.S. Bias Mashma. It means coming into the house. So not only is he not allowed to become Tamei, which we'll see in the next mitzvah, but there's a separate mitzvah, an extra mitzvah, that he's not allowed to enter the house. So it's sort of reminiscent of the mitzorah. Mm-hmm. That the mitzorah, there's an iser, is metame, not an iser per se, but metame bebia. That in order for the mitzorah to become Tamei, for someone to become tummy in a house that has tzaras, mm-hmm. So you have to do bia, you have to come into the house. Mm-hmm. It's not sufficient just to do something that would work for tubas meis, which would be that even if you just stuck your hand for 1 second into the house that contained the corpse, so you become tummy. But here you actually have to go your whole body, or at least most of your body, into the house in order to do what's called metame, in order to be metame. The bia, mishor sheha mitzvah, mashigasavti lamala b'mitzvahs lo sase echad b'seder zeh, which is talking about the general prohibition of kohanim to become tamei to anyone. There it's except relatives; here it's including relatives. Sheinyan hatuma roi lehisrachek mina kohanim, that priests are supposed to distance themselves from ritual impurity. Shem kedoshim osei meleches Hashem tamin. They're responsible for performing the worship of God, so therefore they have to distance themselves from anything that could prevent them from doing such. V'akoyin ha-godol ha-nivdal li'os kodesh kadoshim. The Kohen Gadol is the holiest of all priests. Yimeyoso ba'al-guf nafsho tishkon tamin besocha mesharsim al-yonim. Even though if you look at the Kohen Gadol, it looks like a regular person. Nevertheless, his soul, he has a body, but his soul dwells within the servants of the upper levels. In other words, like sort of on the level of the angels. So since he's on such a high level, he's the most priestly of the priests, then he is not, he is supposed to distance himself even more and permanently from Tuma than any of the other Kohanim. Afilu bikrovim. So regular Kohanim are allowed to become Tamei when they lose one of the six close relatives. They're going to be so distraught over their loss. And if you don't allow them to go grieve properly, which means to be in the same vicinity as a dead body, so they're going to become totally out of their minds with grief. Mm-hmm. So the Torah was makel on them, instituted this lenient type of rule. Masheinu kein b'kohen gadol, but the kohen gadol is a different story. Ki merov dveikos nafsho lemala yispashe legamrei miteva b'nei ish. That since he's so connected to God, at all times, he's at least supposed to. He's supposed to be on the level that he strips off himself, as it were, normal human responses. Yashkiach milibo kol esek olam hazeh hanifsad. That he's not going to pay any attention to olam hazeh. Sounds very ascetic. Ve'al chevras hakarov lo tivke nafsho. On the fact that he lost the company of this particular relative, he's not going to even be so sad. He's not going to cry. Because even as when he was still alive, it's as if he had already separated from this relative because he was totally devoted to God and not to them.
Now, I thought that the reason that, in fact, you would need to, in normal person would need to come into contact with the mace is to help the tahara, to help the preparations.
Right.
And also, in addition, though, with the wanting the fact to be right next to the the kever or something. Or the,
mm-hmm.
That
too. Yeah.
Okay. So that's,
mm-hmm. Both are reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know. And again, some reasons, some mitzvahs are easier to understand seemingly than others. Don't know the full reasons for any mitzvah, but this is what he's suggesting. So it's interesting that it gives the imagery of the Kohen Gadol being, it's like his relatives are already dead to him when he's still alive, because he's so focused on the base of Mikdash, so he doesn't even have to, he's allowed to do a Avelis, but he wouldn't have to, it wouldn't be allowed to become Tomei to them, because he would be expected to show, not even to show restraint, but not even to have the normal types of feelings, because once the person who's appointed to be Kohen Gadol is selected because of his lofty qualities, he's supposed to work on himself once he's Kohen Gadol to keep developing the connection to God and downplaying the connection to earthly matters.
Well, by the way, what would happen if in fact, Tumas Mace, it takes 7 days to, how long does it take to, Paraduma? 7 days, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one problem would be, of course, is if Hashem, he lost the relative just before Yom Kippur, then there'd be a real problem, right? Because he wouldn't be able,
You'd have to appoint a new Kohen Gadol.
All right, yeah.
But you're right, you're right. That's another good reason, 100%.
What constitutes tuma and ohel? We talked about a little bit earlier. Ain roy lach zero pen yichvad al hakori. It's going to be too much for you.
Now, okay. By the way, sorry.
When noeg yisur zeh bisman habayis sheisham kohen gadol v'chol makom sheyiyah. This the kohen applies to the kohen gadol any place where he may be. I feel him haya mikra sheyetsay chuva luchutzalaretz. Normally, the kohen gadol is not supposed to go to outside the land of Israel. Actually, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, any Kohen is not supposed to leave the land of Israel because of what's called Tumas Eretz Amim, that we're worried that there's going to be a grave somewhere or a dead body somewhere that they won't know about, so you're not supposed to go there. But for some reason, the Kohen Gadol finds himself outside the land of Israel. Has to go for Pikuach Nefesh, maybe. Muzar Meikoneis Ve'olameis. So he still has the exact same prohibition applies, the same as if he were still in the Beis Hamikdash itself. If you go into the house containing a dead body, even if your parent, even if their bodies are sitting in the house, you receive the penalty of lashes. It's exactly the same for a parent as it would be for any regular person vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol. Mitzvah Shain Aleph. Shelo Yitma Kohen Gadol B'Shum Tuma B'Meis. That the Kohen Gadol should not have any contact with a dead body whatsoever that would render him tummy, which is a little repetitive from the last mitzvah, and we'll see why, what the difference is soon. Shelo yitma kohen gadol afilu b'meis mikrovav. He shouldn't have any contact with a dead body, even if it's a relative. B'chol shekein, b'chol shar ha'meisim sheva olam b'min b'minei ha'tumah. Certainly any other type of person, any way that he contracts the tumah of a dead body. Bein b'negiyah, bein b'masa, by touching, by carrying. Shenemar lo aviv olimo lo yitama. Even to parents. So it says alkol nafshos meis lo yavo, and then it says la aviv ulimo lo yitama. This wasn't that long ago that we learned this, so I still remember it. So the first part of the pasuk says you shouldn't come into ohel hameis, and the second part of the pasuk says it's talking about the tuma for anyone. It's not just one mitzvah altogether. Shreikosuv sham lo yavo demashba bialo hel v'chan yeser lav kol sh'ar mini hatuma bichlal. Any types of tumah at all is in this mitzvah. Da'al tochshav tachshav shuzesh nemar lo aviv limo lo yitama hu perush l'rosh ha'mikra shomer v'alkol nafshos meis lo yavo. You might think, the beginning of the pasuk says alkol nafshos meis lo yavo, and what does that mean? Lo aviv limo lo yitama. You shouldn't become tamei even to a parent. Shena davarke. No, two separate mitzvahs. So I'm shnei lavin. Lo yavo v'lo yitama. B'loshon sifra chayev v'lo yavo v'chayev v'lo yitama. But the halachic medrash of Sefer Vayikra says that they're separate mitzvahs. One is a specific isur bia, that you're not allowed to come into the house with a dead body. The second one is a general, more general prohibition. You're not allowed to become tamei through contact with a dead body, even if it's a close relative. Uchmochin Amr Zichronim Livracha. The sages tell us in the Sifra. Shechayev Kohen Hedyot Velo Yavo Velo Yitamo Afal Pi Shelo Nichtabo. That the Kohen, a regular Kohen, is also Chayev for go entering a ohel, a structure, a covering with a dead body. And as an extra mitzvah. Why? Midin Gezer Shava. It's a Gezer Shava because the Kohen, it says that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to come into contact with the dead body. It says the Kohen Hedyo is not allowed to come into contact with the dead body. And then it adds this prohibition of Lo Yavo, even though the Pasuk explicitly is only talking about the Kohen Gadol. Since they both have prohibitions about coming into contact with the dead body, just the Kohen Hedyo is more limited. So we assume we apply the prohibition of Lo Yavo, not a special extra lav about going into an oil with a dead body. We apply it to a Kohen Hedyot as well, even though it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah. So the Gemara says that, it doesn't say in the Gemara, rather, I'm sorry, it says in the Sifra, and some of the commentaries on the Sifra Chinuch want to amend the text over here, because this exact Gzeira Shava is not found in the Gemara, it's only found in the Sifra. So, perhaps, or maybe it just means learning. Gemara can just mean, you know, Talmud, you know, the analysis of the halacha, as opposed to the specific book that we call the Gemara. Nevertheless, even though these both apply to a regular Kohen as well, you don't count them as two separate lavin. By the Kohen Gadol, it says explicitly, "Behedyot nilmad ha'echad b'gzeira shava." If it's learned out with gzeira shava, just the comparison between two things that were similar lashonos and concepts are used. Uchvar hora zokein hu Rambam zichron livracha. The Rambam tells us, "She'ein lanu limnos b'minyan tariyag mitzvos ella ha'meforoshos b'kosuv alo halnilmados b'midos shatora nidreshes." That you count only things that are explicit in the chumash. Even if they require a little bit of interpretation, not the simple meaning, but if the basic words that we're interpreting are explicit in the Chumash, then you count it as one of the mitzvos, but not if you have to learn it out with one of the 13 midos, the way that the Torah is interpreted by comparing one thing to the other. Again, it's sometimes there a mitzvah will be counted as not that requires some drasha work with the words, that does not the simple meaning of the words, but not if you have to just learn it out by comparing it to something else. It's interesting here that the Sefer HaChinuch, and also we know that the Rambam uses the term in the Mishneh Torah, he's very liberal with using the term midivrei sofrim. Midivrei sofrim, from the words of the scribes, which can mean one of two things. That the simple, on the, it means a derabanan, can mean an early derabanan, that from the earliest stages of the expression of the Torah Shebel Peh as we know it today, like the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, Ezra Sofer, etc., that, but it could mean, so it's more like Divrei Kabbalah almost sometimes. Even had a shaykhes to Nevi'im, but sometimes uses the words B'divrei Sofrim, seemingly, to describe things that are not explicit in the Torah, that are learned out with methods of interpreting the Torah, but are not explicit, so he doesn't call them D'oraisa, even though other commentators would call them D'oraisa, since they basically are at a Torah level. Same idea over here. It's also interesting that the Chinuch here uses the words of Kvar Hora Zokin. Kvar Hora Zokin means, usually is used to mean that we're not sure exactly what the halacha should be based on our own logic, so we, if an earlier authority that we respect greatly already ruled on the matter, we say, let's not think about it anymore, Kvar Hora Zokin, about the halachic ruling. But here, this is not a halachic ruling. This is just a method of counting the 613 mitzvos. So it's just interesting, it's sort of, it's not the normal usage of the words Kvar Hora Zokin, but he says the Rambam already told us how to count the 613 mitzvahs, so we don't have to think about it anymore. Okay? Mishor Sheha Mitzvah. So again, we didn't see before that there is, when we were discussing the Kohen Hedyot explicitly, that there is an extra level of prohibition if he goes into an ohel completely with his whole or most of his body to an ohel with a mace, but there is such an additional prohibition. Mishor Sheha Mitzvah, again, this is vis-a-vis God. You wouldn't get extra malchus or anything for this, but you should know that there's an extra mitzvah involved. Extra level of severity. Mishor Sheha Mitzvah, Mashikosavnu, B'mitzvah Kodem, Ezozo, V'hu Adin, V'hu Atam. It's the same thing. Ki Kavana Shtehen, Bal Yavo, Bal Yitama, Inyan Echad, who that you have to distance the Kohen Gadol as much as possible from Tumah. Uvedine tumas hameis kvar kosafti lemala meseder ze mitzvah slosa se echad ksasvei and the halachas of tumas meis. Benoiges or ze bisman habayis ki azi yesham kohen gadol. This is in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. V'chol makom shekohen sham gam ke noiges or ze, again same idea, any place, anywhere where the kohen gadol happens to find himself. Im avar v'nitma afil v'krova b'minim mini atuma chayav malkos. And if the kohen gadol, you know, comes into contact, he carries his dead father to the cemetery, so he's chayav malkos. Fine.
Now, we stopped appointing Kohen Gadol after the Korban.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but we kept on having, you know, I mean, keeping track of who's a regular Kohen.
Sure, why not?
But there's no point in having Kohen Gadol.
Because Kohen Gadol has nothing to do with lineage. A Kohen Gadol is appointed. A Kohen Gadol is appointed to a specific task to serve in the Beis Hamikdash.
So there's not there's no reason to do it, obviously, if there's the no
yeah, there's no reason, there's no mechanism, there's no, nowadays it's pointless with Kohen Gadol. We could do nowadays. You have, I mean, the Kohanic lineage is very important vis-a-vis Trumas and Maestris.
Mm-hmm.
Trumas specifically for Kohen.
Mm-hmm.
And in theory, we are allowed to do the Korban Pesach mm-hmm. nowadays, because the Korban Pesach, when most of the Jewish people is Tamei, then it's completely, it's Doche Tumah. The Korban Pesach is Doche Tumah, that we're allowed to go on the Har HaBayis into the, you know, wherever we need to go in order to perform the Korban Pesach, because it's Doche Tumah. So there's absolutely a possibility nowadays of performing the Korban Pesach. You know, Mizbeach, you know, get him built, you know. I don't think actually the place where the Mizbeach was is covered currently by any mosques. Now, if they don't mind us, you know, the little courtyard of their mosques building a Mizbeach.
They ride just the people walk on. Right. I mean, that's, you know, if they saw any kind of, you know, service going on up there.
They're a touchy bunch, what can I say? But in theory, it's possible to do the Korban Pesach nowadays. So we would need real Kohanim. You don't need a Kohen Gadol to do the Korban Pesach, but you need Kohanim. Okay. Mitzvah Reishayin Beis. Mitzvah 272. Mitzvah Kohen Gadol Lisa Naira Besula. That the Kohen Gadol has to marry a virgin maiden.
Yeah, what if you have a regular Kohen who
yeah.
is married, in fact, a widow or something like that, and then you're allowed to make him Kohen Gadol? Or?
Yes, yeah. It only applies, I think the Sefer Chinuch says explicitly, okay. that this mitzvah only applies to a Kohen Gadol who's already the Kohen Gadol who wishes to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Some say it's a mitzvah that once you're Kohen Gadol, if you're single, you have to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be a Naira B'sula.
Some,
that's in order to worship on Yom Kippur, you need a wife. That's true, but maybe you're just being appointed Kohen Gadol from Sukkot through Pesach, so you're not gonna. So there, you don't need a wife to be for your avoda to be kosher, but you need a. You might have a separate mitzvah. Either it means if you choose to get married, you have to marry an Naira B'sula, or it means there's a specific mitzvah that the Kohen Gadol, if he's not already married, he must marry a Naira B'sula. You can imagine, even if maybe the Kohen Gadol is 75 years old and his wife dies, so then if there's an explicit mitzvah, a special mitzvah, and so he has to marry a Naira B'sula at the age of 75. It's a little, again. For our crowd over here, it'll be a little hard to swallow, but it could be the case. Yeah.
Well, no, but unfortunately, though, for regular Kohanim nowadays, if they, in fact, you know, if they get widowed or divorced or like that, then they have a hard time, a lot of times, finding, you know, someone who's, you know, going to be suitable, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's a Kohen Gadol, Naira Besula, that the Kohen Gadol has to marry a virgin maiden. Shenemar, v'hu yishavim sule ha'yikach. He should take a woman with her virginity. What does it mean, with her virginity? It means with the signs of virginity intact, meaning the hymen being present. You don't necessarily have to check her for the presence of it, but at an age where it would be assumed that the hymen would be intact. Some women are born without hymen, so I think they would still be kosher for a Kohen Gadol, but the point is, it has to be at an age where it would be shayach. V'araya lezeh, nechshav miklal mitzvah saseh. Now, this is included in the positive commandments. Rabbi Akiva was the most stringent about who qualifies as a mamzer. The way we pass it is that a mamzer is someone who's born out of a relationship that's subject to an isser kares, except for Nida. So the Rabbi Akiva said that any product of a forbidden relationship whatsoever was a mamzer. Remember, Rabbi Akiva held that if you divorce your wife and she marries someone else and then she gets divorced from him and then she marries you again, it's called machzer grushaso achar shenises. So that's an iser lav. That's not an iser kares, it's just a iser malkos. So Rabbi Akiva used to say that that would be the product of that union would be a mamzer also, which again, which is that we don't paskin like. So he said, even if it's not even a negative commandment, but a positive commandment, it says that the Kohen Gadol must marry a virgin maiden. So if he doesn't marry a virgin maiden, if he has a child with someone other than a virgin maiden, so that's called an Isser Aseh, that he violated, he did something wrong based on a positive commandment that he has. That if there's a prohibition that stems from a positive commandment, it's called a lav haba miklal asei, and that's considered to be under the rubric of a positive commandment. So the same thing here, that if a Kohen Gadol marries someone other than a Naira Besula, then he would be violating an Isser Asei. He'd be violating a positive commandment. The language of the Gemara is that the Kohen Gadol is forbidden from marrying a widow, and he's required, he's mitzuvah, to marry a besula, a virgin. Okay. Mishor sheha mitzvah. What's the reasoning behind this mitzvah? Levisho ha'ikar hatov sheba adam hushielo machsheves tyronikios. That the good thing about a person, the quintessence of goodness with a person, is that one's thoughts should be pure and clean. After one's thoughts come one's actions. That the highest servant of God should cleave to a woman whose thoughts never were on a man besides for him. Shehu Kodesh Kadashim, he's the highest of the holy, and his wife has to be solely focused on thoughts of him. That progeny that the Kohen Gadol has with this woman who never thought of any other man besides him should be born of the highest level of purity and holiness, and hopefully that will, since they were of good birth, that will lead to their being good Kohanim. B'shema Tomar, now you tell me. Ask me an obvious question. Umiyo de'ayim ha'besula kava ma'chashavta b'yishacher zulasi bovenasnei neba'acher. They never consummated their union, their love, but maybe she had a crush on someone else when she was younger.
Highly likely.
She had a crush on someone else.
Maybe, but there's nothing. You know, thoughts and emotions are not...
That's what he's saying. He's saying the opposite. He's saying that vis-a-vis this mitzvah, we see that the thoughts and the emotions are important.
Well, that's the church. That's the explanation of the mitzvah. It's not a...
Right. No.
That's not the real...
Right. He's giving... Again, these are not the be-all and end-all of the reasons. It's just to make it a little more understandable. The tshuva b'zeh, what about the girl had a crush on someone else? So this girl would not be invalid, would not be problematic to marry a Kohen Gadol because she didn't do her action yet. But if she consummated her union with someone else, then she is no longer allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. So again, it's hard to control people's thoughts. I'm adding this myself. So it's impossible. You can't say, well, she had a crush on someone else. Yes, she didn't know. It's too hard. You have some sort of physical thing. Benchmark.
If you had a Basula who actually was engaged with somebody else and then broke the engagement, then,
We don't say that. We don't because of these reasons of the Evrachinuch, we don't come up with new halachas.
Okay.
We're just trying to understand a little bit. Again, halacha doesn't always govern each individual case. We have a general rule, and we try to do the best we can with understanding the reasoning, but it doesn't, doesn't make these tiny different chilukim between different types of people. So we have a rule, the Misha Tivgar Asura Alav, that when we say that the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Naira Besula, it means she really has to be a Naira. What's a Naira in halacha? between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half. Don't tell Mr. Bermel. That and once she turns 12 and a half, she becomes a bogeres. This is a naira is a transitionary phase in halacha. Before the age of 12, a girl is a ktana, and she has no jurisdiction over herself, that her father has her marital jurisdictions, that her father can accept kiddushin for her. And if once she's a naira between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, that's after bas mitzvah, she's an adult al pi halacha, but for the first 6 months, both she and her father can marry her off. And then after 12 and a half, the father, she's considered to be a complete adult, and the father no longer has any power to marry her off. She is the only one who can get married of her own accord. So between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, she's called a naira, and then after 12 and a half, she's called a bogeres. So he's not a kohen gadol. There's a little bit of a discussion, but the assumption is that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a ktana. He's not allowed to marry a girl under the age of 12. And here we see he's not allowed to marry a bogeres, a fully adult young woman. So he has to marry a naira between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half. Oh, okay. Ha'inyan hu, why is he not allowed to marry her when she turns 12 and a half? The mikevan she gedola kolkach. Again, it's only a 6 month difference. But since she's really reached the age of adulthood and her romantic feelings are becoming more developed, Yitzer Machsheves Liba Rak Ra, like the Anshe Dora Mabel Abdul, that she's going to have lustful thoughts all the time. And at the age of 12 and a half, she's more likely to have really engaged in lustful thoughts about another man. Since she's more adult-like after the age of 12 and a half, so these thoughts are considered to have more of an impact on her, as if she did an actual act. So therefore, it's no longer appropriate for her to marry a Kohen Gadol.
Wait, I'm sorry. We just said that, you know, outside of the realm of, you know, say, giving explanations, right?
Yeah.
Halacha is only based upon things or actions, not upon tendencies or thoughts or something of that sort.
So the assumption is that after 12 and a half, she'll have very strong lustful thoughts. And before the age of 12 and a half, so even if she has lustful thoughts, so it won't really have an effect on her unless she consummates the thoughts. And
so in other words, we are basically saying that, you know, Kohen Gadol should not marry someone who has had lustful thoughts.
That's the Mishor Shia Mitzvah that Zever Chinuch presents. But
what rationalization could there be for you know, a Bogeres not being allowed?
Well, if you want to go more al Pipshuta without the thoughts idea, the idea is that, the Gemara talks about this, that, which is true physically, that as a woman gets older, a girl gets older, so the hymen breaks down.
Right.
Yeah. Even naturally. Not even that it had a trauma that broke it, but that it gets thinner and it breaks down as it is. So it's...
You won't be able to tell.
She's not a full-fledged Besula, even though Abogeres, obviously, who's a virgin, gets a ksuba of 200. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, she's not an absolute virgin on the highest level once this process starts, she starts breaking down. That's why a lot of times that, you know, the halachic literature, when women got married much younger, even though she's a Bogeres, but the hymen's still more likely to be more stark at the age of 15 or 16 or whatever women got married 200 years ago, or, you know, in certain Sephardic countries where even recently they got married much earlier. So you find halachos of like Dan Besulim, that after the first act of relations, after a couple when it gets married, so it talks lots of blood, the presence of lots of blood. But that one of the things that we teach in chassan classes nowadays, when women get married at the age of, could be 30, could be 40, you know, but even at the age of 22, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is. So a lot of times, they're not going to find blood, because the hymen is really broken down, and there's not going to be such a physical indication of virginity. There might be a little blood, but not going to be the way it's described in the classical literature. They're very likely not to be any blood at all, but the way it's described in the classical literature of, tons of blood is not is very unlikely to happen, yeah?
So the upshot of this whole thing, really, is that, you know, I mean, you have to be nuts to a point a Kohen Gadol wasn't married. Because go ahead and find, a girl between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half who had never gone horseback riding or something like that. To satisfy, it's going to be awfully hard.
I thought you were going to say to find a girl between 12 and 12 and a half who wants to marry a 40-year-old man.
Okay, well, that's true. I mean, all right.
But this would only apply if the Kohen Gadol, suddenly became single once he was already...
Yeah, or if he wasn't married already for some reason, yeah.
Right, well, like he said, yeah. I think he would have preferred to appoint a...
Yes, you probably would. Especially nowadays. Again, society was different. In the olden days, sometimes, girls that young got married. That's just the way it was. Society is different. So nowadays, we would probably like to appoint the Kohen Gadol who's already married, yes. V'chein mizehatam amru gamkein shim this almana min ha'erosin afilu ve'odaktana asurahi la'kohen. That if she had kiddushin deraisa, remember we saw that there's kiddushin derabanan, which is if the mother and the brothers marry a little girl off. So, but see, this case over here is that she had kiddushin deraisa. It wasn't the mother and brothers; it was the father who accepted her kiddushin when she was under the age of 12. So that's kiddushin deraisa. So maybe they didn't have nisuin yet. She's still 8 years old. The man went to her father and said, your daughter seems, I'm sure once she gets older, she's going to be a wonderful wife for me. So she says, Harei bitcha mikudesh esli, he gives the father kiddushin, and they're not going to get the move in together until she turns 14. I know, ripe old age of 14. So in the meantime, she's mikudesh, she's absolutely married. So if he drops dead, then she would still not be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Shemikevan denaisav amase hakidushin kvar kava machashavta bishacher mitoch maiso ha'erusin v'nifsla. Again, even though she didn't have relations at all, you think maybe that she wouldn't even be shayach to the Yisra Almana, so she would be still prohibited. The maiso posel afilu bekadlus u'machshava begadlus. So it said, since it's an action that happened to her of getting married in some way, not fully married, moving in together, but having kiddushin and the betrothal, then if that comes to an end, then even though she's still a virgin, then she would not be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol once she turns 12, until she reaches the age of 12 and a half. V'chein amru, shim nivala shelo kedarka, gam kein psula. Even if she had anal relations and not the regular way, so that never, even though her hymen is still 100% intact, nevertheless, she would not be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, which is a machlokes in the Gemara, but we paskin lechumra that a girl who had bia shelo kedarka would not be allowed to marry the Kohen Gadol. Shekvar nasa ba maisa rav alfa pisha besulei akam, and it's still a major action, obviously, that happened to her, even though that her signs of virginity would still not be affected at all. The Chein Amru, says the Gemara, Sha'af mukas eitz psula, that if her hymen was destroyed by a trauma, a physical trauma, literally means hit by a wood, piece of wood, hit by a stick. So if some sort of physical trauma destroyed her signs of virginity, so she would also not be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol, which is also a machlokas in the Gemara. It's interesting that they're on opposite sides. Some of the commentators on the Sefer Chinuch say, how can he paskel like both of these shittas? One, there's one opinion in the Gemara that says, mukas eitz is no good, but bia shelo kedarka is good. And one says bia shelo kedarka is no good, one says mukas eitz the opposite. The mukas eitz would be okay. So how can he paskel l'chumra in both directions is a little bit questionable, but nevertheless, that's the way he goes, that either type of thing that happened to her would be a problem. She'd no longer be allowed to marry Kohen Gadol. That even if she was a mukas eitz, then she still wouldn't, she's not going to get as attached to the Kohen Gadol and attach her thoughts solely to him. Why? That since her signs of virginity are destroyed, So she's never going to develop a really, really strong connection to a man. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that a woman only develops the real bris, a connection, a covenant, with a man who makes her into a vessel. What does it mean, makes her into a vessel? It's like, right now, she's like an unformed mass of material.
Uh-huh.
And then to turn that unformed mass into a vessel, so it needs to be punctured into a kli that turns into a vessel. It's like on Shabbos.
Yeah, right. Open
you have a can or something like that. A can is considered to be just a solid piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you take off the top of the can, so you've turned it from a solid piece of metal into a kli where you can take stuff in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
And that turns a solid piece of metal into a kli. It's the same thing too. It's the man who first punctures her besulim that turned the woman into a kli that she now can. But that process is the strongest type of connection between a man and a woman that could be. It doesn't mean that, you know, it could be that a woman is married for. A woman is married for a couple of years, and her husband dies, and she marries a second husband, and she loves the second husband very much. But the assumption of the Gemara, again, that doesn't mean that it applies in every single case, literally, but the assumption of the Gemara, that generally the strongest possible connection between a man and a woman in a marital context is when the man took the wife's virginity. Okay? V'arizo lo asush adal shum adam kli. So even though the Kohen Gadol will be the first man with whom this girl had relations, nevertheless, since she's already a Kli, there's no more, her Besulim are no longer there, so then she's never going to develop this super, super strong, amazing attachment, the highest level of attachment to the Kohen Gadol, so then she shouldn't marry him. Okay, fine. Umikol makom lo hechmiru zichronam livracha be'elu harbe. Chazal were not very stringent regarding the women who don't fall under the strict criteria, but are in fact virgins. V'amru she'im nasa bogeres amukas eitz di'eved yikayim. That if the Kohen Gadol violated this mitzvah, and he married a girl over the age of 12 and a half, or one whose hymen was destroyed through trauma, physical trauma, then he is allowed to stay married her, and they do not have to get divorced. Unlike if a Kohen Gadol marries an Amana, they have to get divorced immediately. A regular Kohen marries a Grusha, they have to get divorced and not allowed to remain together. Here, even though he violated the prohibition, he did a sin. Nevertheless, they do not have to get divorced, and they are allowed, now that it's already done, lechatchila to stay married. Which brings up the possibility that the Sefer HaChinuch presents this with a lashon of lo echmiru zichronam levracha be'ilu harbe, that Chazal were not very stringent regarding these things. It brings up the possibility that bogeres and the mukas eitz are only derabanan.
Mm-hmm.
Midaraisa, these would be allowed to marry Kohen Gadol.
You can't be makel on a deraisa, can you?
Well, that's a very good point. But the response to that is that the reason that Chazal said that they don't have to get divorced is that even when a Kohen Gadol marries a girl that he's supposed to marry, a Naira Besula, so they're allowed to stay married, right? Even though it's not like you're sheik with Emir, with everyone, with a one-and-done marriage, but it's they're allowed to stay married, even though she's not a virgin anymore. You know, they already had the relations. So since they're going to grow up, and she's going to become a bogeres at some point in their marriage, and she's going to become a mukas eitz, not exactly, but she's become a non-virgin because he's going to destroy her hymen. So she's going to become a non-virgin and a bogeres at some point in their relationship, even though they got married beheter, and they're allowed to stay married together. So Chazal said that if they get married lechatchila, which they're not supposed to do, since she would attain that status anyway at some point in their relationship, so they don't have to get divorced. It doesn't make sense to say they have to get divorced, because the Kohen Gadol is allowed to stay married to a Bogeres or a Mukaseis. He's just not allowed to get married to a Bogeres or a Mukaseis.
Well, of course, for Kohen Gadol, if Kohen Gadol does something which, you know, Lachatkila is Aser, but, you know, B'dieved, you could live with,
yeah.
You can always appoint another Kohen Gadol. You know, you don't, you're not, the, you know...
That's true, but he's saying you don't need to. Well, if he violates the prohibition, it's like, you know, analogy is, we know that, at least you have a treif pot that hasn't been used in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So you're not allowed to use that pot before you kosher it. Mm-hmm. But if you cooked food, even if on purpose, intently, you cooked food in that pot after the 24-hour period, you're allowed to eat the food. There's no knas that you're not allowed to eat the food. There's no midas chasidus not to eat this food. It's 100% kosher and permissible to eat lechatchila, even though the cooking was done b'isser.
Right,
so it's kosher b'dieved, but kosher lechatchila to eat.
Okay.
It's not only kosher b'dieved, meaning there's a midas chasidus, if you're really religious, you're afraid from eating it. It's 100% kosher b'dieved, since you did it in a wrong way, but it doesn't affect the actual kashrus of the food. Same thing, too, it sounds like here, that even though the marriage was not l'chatchila, not allowed at all, same way you're not allowed to cook in a pot l'chatchila, that's treif, but hasn't been used 24 hours before kashering. So nevertheless, once it's done already, there's no midas chasidus to separate. That's what it sounds like.
Right. You can always hire another cook. Okay, that's my point. In other words, if somebody somehow or other, yeah. Just to squeak by on you know, the evidence and things like that, you know, I mean, well...
No, I'm going to say, you have to assess whether he's right to be the Kohen Gadol, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Medine ha-mitzvah, the halachas are as follows. Ma-shamru zichrona livracha. She'echad Kohen Gadol ha-mashuach b'shem en ha-mishcha ha-meruba begodim. That there is a super Kohen Gadol who has certain more privileges that there was still the Shemen HaMishcha and he was anointed with the oil, or HaMerubah Begodim, at the later stage when the Shemen HaMishcha no longer existed, or was no longer available, was Gnignaz, then the way they would appoint the Kohen Gadol would just be by having him wear the garments, performing the worship in the Beis HaMikdash for a Kohen Gadol, and that's it. Vechad Kohen Gadol. Echad Kohen Gadol ha'oved. Whether he's a current Kohen Gadol, ech o Kohen Gadol sheminuhu ve'ovar. Or he was the Kohen Gadol that they appointed him and then he became un Kohen Gadol. So any time he was the Kohen, any person who was ever the Kohen Gadol is subject to these prohibitions. Mechain Kohen Meshuach Milchama, who is not the Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Meshuach Milchama is a Kohen who is appointed to lead the Jewish people into the Milchames Mitzvah. To the holy war, so to speak, war of a mitzvah, required wars regarding conquering Eretz Yisrael and so forth. So he's not the Kohen Gadol, but he has a lot of the rules of the Kohen Gadol apply to him. Kula mitzuvim ala basula vasurim ba'amana. These people are all required to marry a naira basula, and they're not allowed to marry a widow. Umasha amru shafilu eres haktana uvagra tachtav. That if you, Kohen Gadol, performed Erusin on a Ktana even before the age of 12, and before they had a chance to do the Nisuin, to move in together, she got older than 12 and a half, then he's not even allowed to do Nisuin. He's not, you might think that since he started before, no, the actual consummation of the marriage, or the halachic consummation of the marriage, which is the Nisuin, when they move in together, it must be at a time when she's 100% permissible. But if he did perform the suit, he doesn't have to divorce her. Obviously. We just learned that even if they got married l'chatchila, after she was 12 and a half, even if the kiddushin and the nisuin and everything was after 12 and a half, he didn't have to get divorced. So certainly if the kiddushin was before the age of 12 and a half. Umash amru, she'enu nose shtayim noshim la'olam, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have more than one wife. Shenemar, the who isha bivsuleha yikach, that he is allowed, he should marry a woman in with her virginity. Davka isha achas avaloshtayim natu. But presumably, if he has two wives from before, he's a Kohen Gadol, he's allowed to stay married to them. Umash amru, right? Vim kanas ha'amana beodo hediot. But if you marry a widow when he was still a Kohen Hediot, v'nismana Gadol she'ena motzia. Right, so if he was married before, even to a woman that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry, such as a widow. Even more than that, that even if the Erusin was before, he just did Erusin on a woman, he just betrothed a woman while he was still a regular Kohen, then he became a Kohen Hedi, the Kohen Gadol, so he's allowed to move in with her. Very interesting. So I guess they would tell him nowadays that we don't look too favorably on marriages of 12-year-old girls. They would probably tell him, we're going to appoint you the Kohen Gadol tomorrow, quick, you know, get married quickly to any woman you want to make sure that you know how to get put in this predicament. And this is found in the sixth parak of Maseches Yevamos and in certain places in Ksuvos and Kiddushin. V'noeg ba'aretz v'zman ha'bayis v'ha'avoda ki az yizman ha'kohen gadol. It's in the Eretz Yisrael in times of the bayis, lo v'mokom acher. But of course, if the Kohen Gadol leaves Eretz Yisrael again for whatever reason, then he would still not be allowed to marry anyone but this type of woman. V'kohen gadol ha'over al zev v'nosa b'ulasi she'ina lo amana v'lo grusha b'ital asei u'motzia baget. And again, it sounds like here over here also that any woman who's technically a virgin, even if she's not at the right age range or she's a mukas eitz, then she's only derabanan. Because it says that he's Kohen Gadol who violates this, that he marries a be'ulas ish. If he marries a woman who actually had relations with another man, then even if she's not a widow or a divorcee, then he's neglected the former part of the commandment of motzia baget, and they have to get divorced. So it sounds like he's specifically not including mukas eitz and a bogeris. So it sounds like Zevir Chinuch is holding that they are the rabbanon. But again, there are many. The assumption among most authorities is that these are all dinim deraisa.